The Punt, William Hill's Top Flight Football Podcast.
Yes, hello everybody, welcome along. It's The Punt. We're looking ahead to the Premier League action on Sunday the 28th and Monday the 29th of December. My name's Lee Phelps in the company of Derek McGovern. Just us two today, Derek.
God, we don't need those part-timers, do we?
Not at all. I think Dave's realised that picking that one bet out a week is just taxing him. He can only do one a week. He can't do like three in succession. We're going to look through all the fixtures. So there's four TV games as well, so we'll go through those first, as always, and then we'll come on to the 3 o'clock games on Sunday the 28th. Let's start, Derek, with a belter, really. Tottenham versus Man U. Tottenham all of a sudden finding some form, aren't they, over the last few weeks? And Man U just keep doing what they're doing, don't they? Which is not playing overly well, but to getting the results. The performance against Newcastle was better, though. 3-1 with Rooney and Van Persie scoring. Tottenham, we said before the weekend that they keep winning games, and it's only that one defeat now in the last eight games for them, in all competitions, that is. Won the last match against Tottenham, against Leicester, 2-1. They just keep doing it, 2-1. There'll be many a person putting both teams to score in Akers for this game, won't there, Derek? Yeah. In years gone by, we've had some brilliant high-scoring games with 5-3s and all that sort of stuff. But with Kane in good form and Rooney and Van Persie just pretty much burying everything they've got, should be a high-scorer.
You'd have thought so. I mean, it paid off in this fixture at White Hart Lane, four of the last six seasons. A couple of 0-0 draws thrown in there just to temper your enthusiasm a little. 2-2 yeah. Last season, 1-1 the year before. In fact, Tottenham haven't beat Man United at White Hart Lane in any of the last six seasons. The two teams, Lee, who have got a great, outstanding recent form when it comes to results, not when it comes to performances. I mean, neither of them have hit the height,
no,
have they, really?
Not at all.
And yet they keep picking up these wins. Something's got to give. I'm not sure quite what it is, though. I can't see why Man United are as short as 5-4. I have to say that.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, all this talk about them yet mounting a title challenge. Oh, come on. You know, what are they, 10 points or something like that behind Chelsea, a bit more than that? They ain't going to make up that gap. They're not as good as Chelsea in the temp. They're giving them a 10-point start at Christmas. Come on, get real, people. Instinct tempts me towards Tottenham here, you know. I just think Man United's run of luck. You see, they beat Newcastle, and you say that they played a lot better, and they probably did going forward, but they still give Newcastle chance after chance.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, it could have been 4-3, 5-4, and Tottenham aren't going to let them go begging, especially some of the scoring form they're in, the Ericssons and the Canes. I'm going to go for Tottenham here. I've just got a sneaking fancy for them. I think probably Man United, again, I've said this in each of the last three podcasts, Man United, they seem to be still priced up on as the United of the Fergie reign, and they're anything but. And I think Tottenham are being a little bit underrated here in these kind of odds. I'm going to go for the Londoners.
And the manager, Louis van Gaal, I mean, he's fantastically honest in his appraisal of his team's performances. And I've heard him say on a number of occasions that, you know, we need to improve our away form. I know they won at Arsenal, but, you know, they were mighty lucky in that first half not to concede more. And they won at Southampton again, didn't they? And Southampton had a bit of that game.
Yeah.
Drew 1-1 at Villa, you know, lost at City, drew at West Brom. Lost 5-3 at Leicester, 0-0 with Burnley. I know that was earlier in the season. 1-1 with Sunderland early in the season. But, you know, whichever way you cut it, there's still only those two victories, which weren't exactly, you know, they weren't overly confident victories from them. It's just like when they get the chances, Derek, they're going to score, aren't they? You know that. You know, they need two or three, and these players are going to score. But I'm with you, I think. I can't. I mean, I know Tottenham aren't as big a price as they were when they were better the century, was it last season?
Yeah, 5-1, yeah.
But, you know, why are they 23-10?
Well,
there's no reason, really. No. Well, they should be the biggest price of the three, is there?
Definitely not. It's a 6-4, 6-4, 9-4 job, yeah. If ever there was one, and you're getting, you know, 23-10 Tottenham. You're right, Lee, Man United's away from two wins in eight away from home, and we're supposed to be back.
And you can pick holes in them, can't you, those
well,
two?
Well, yeah, and they're playing a decent, you know, a lot of those eight matches away have been against cannon fodder, you know, Tottenham or anything but. Yeah, the odds are wrong, really, aren't they?
Yeah, it does give you a bit. I mean, I think people are still thinking Tottenham are poor at home as well, and you look at their home form in all competitions, you know, that they lost against Stoke and they lost against Newcastle, but they're the only two defeats at home in any competition since the 24th of September.
Exactly.
So they're not doing bad.
I know, and also, you know, when United won the league, the worst winners of the league evermore, like, the season before last, everyone, I kept going, how are these going to win the league? And Ron kept saying, you know, sign of a good team, keep winning without playing well. Well, hang on, Tottenham are doing that. No one's saying that about them.
True.
You know, so...
He's got him going, hasn't he?
Yeah. So I'm going to go for Tottenham, definitely.
Yeah. I mean, with Rooney in the form he's in and playing that slightly different role, 7-5 for him to score. He's got a great record. 6 of Rooney's 9 goals against Tottenham. He scored 9 in 13 against them, by the way. 6 of the 9 have come at White Hart Lane as well. So he loves playing at White Hart Lane, does Rooney.
Yeah.
We mentioned that 5-3 earlier on. That was the game where Spurs led at 3-0 at half time. Do you remember that, Derek?
Way back in Glenn Hoddle's reign, wasn't it?
2001, wasn't it?
Yeah, I think he was the manager then, Glenn Hoddle.
Well, since then, Spurs haven't won any of the last 13 at White Hart Lane. Drawn 5, lost 8 since that 5-3. Also, when they led it, there were some great. I mean, the internet betting was relatively young back then, wasn't it? But there were some great stories at the time about how people had lumped on at half time. You know, had thousands on at half time on Tottenham, and been chinned still by Man United.
I know.
Ah, dear me.
It was fantastic day.
Yeah, it was. It was good. Next up on the in terms of the TV games is Southampton versus Chelsea. This is an intriguing one. All of a sudden, Southampton 7-2. The draw 23-10, Chelsea 17-20. Graziano Pelle to score and Southampton to win 7-1. That's one of the two headline offers. And the other one is Diego Costa to score and Chelsea to win. Back-to-back wins for Southampton, scoring 3 at home to Everton and 3 at Crystal Palace, and they're in fourth. Chelsea just keep on doing what they do. I mean, it was a very professional performance against Stoke. Didn't really give Stoke much of a sniff, and when they did get a sniff towards the end of the game, they just went and scored a second. And then they beat West Ham and didn't really get out of maybe second or third gear. You've got to say, though, Derek, that West Ham performance, not wanting to blow my own trumpet, but the change of tactic, why didn't they go with what they've been doing?
I know.
Try to be clever and go... How do you... You don't get 11, 14 players or whatever who've been playing a certain way all season and getting rave reviews and then turn them into some sort of defensive... Yeah. You go with what you've got.
Exactly.
And be confident. If you're going to lose 2 or 3 nil, so what?
Hippo head believing his own publicity. That's
crazy,
what it was.
Crazy.
Yeah, you know, you could argue that maybe they threw those points away to concentrate on the home game against Arsenal, a more winnable fixture maybe for Hippo head. Possibly, you know, but yeah, if you're a team in fourth place and you've got Champions League aspirations, you don't be doing things like that. Chelsea will win this. I mean, you know, when Southampton were winning all those games, I kept saying, it's going to change, they're not good enough for this, and they've been meeting cannon fodder. And sure enough, you know, they went on the run of 4 straight defeats, or was it 5? I don't know how they beat Everton to get out of that spiral, but maybe that result is not the form hasn't been franked, has it, by Everton subsequently?
No.
And then they beat Palace, but everybody's beaten Palace. I just look at this game and I can't see Chelsea not winning. And everyone's going, oh yeah, but you know, fixtures 48 hours. But Chelsea are more able to handle that than Southampton are.
Definitely.
And they're almost even money against a side that are comfortably the better side. I know it doesn't, you know, that doesn't mean anything, does it, with Premier League weekends are full of upsets. But Chelsea will win this one. Bankers.
Yeah, and this is the start of the second. We talked about this way back in November, I think it was, when people were talking about Southampton to be top 4 candidates, and this is the first of the next 3. You remember they had those 3 before Christmas, which was Man City, Arsenal and Man United.
Yeah.
Now they've got Chelsea, Arsenal and Man United again in the next 3 in Premier League. They've got Ipswich in the third of the four run of the third of those 4 games is Ipswich, so they've got a little bit of a downtime. But then they also had Sheffield United, didn't they?
That's right.
Lost to them in the League Cup.
Exactly.
So it's going to be interesting to see how they cope with the second set of 3 games like this. But Chelsea, then Arsenal, and then Man U on the 11th of January. So we'll know a lot about Southampton by then. You can't look past Chelsea in whatever form, can you?
No.
I mean, the way they just... It's not that they're brilliant. It's just that they control teams. And then they just... There's no ill discipline about them. They get stuck in. All right, I know there's a bit of diving around at the minute, but... This is Ron, it's a shame, Ron, isn't it? Because it's his season, 2-0 to Chelsea, every game.
That was just going to be my next sentence. He would have been doing his nut now, wouldn't it? Fought three 2-0s in the last 4 matches. Well, all the last 3 Premier League games have been 2-0,
yeah,
haven't he?
I know. And why not go for it again? 15-2.
Yeah, well,
for 2-0.
Well, it's Marino's MO, isn't it?
Yeah.
That's his name begins with that. I mean, that's what he did in his first spell there. And it's I mean, 15-2. Why won't it pay? It's a great bet.
Decent, isn't it? I mean, the other way to be a bit safer about it, if you think that Chelsea are going to win, but you don't want to go for the correct score, the minus one, I suppose, just in case they happen to stick a third in, or they win 3-1, for instance. Chelsea minus one is 11-5.
What a play Hazard is, isn't he? Oh. I just love watching him play. Best player in the Premier League by a mile at the moment.
Yeah. He got beaten to the...
The goalie.
You know what I was thinking there? I don't know why. I must have had too many Brendan and Cokes or something, but I started to drift away after that stat. What is it about the Belgians' names? Why do they all have fantastic names?
Yeah,
Courtois, Company, even Marouan Fellaini. I know you don't like him, but Marouan Fellaini is some name, isn't it?
It is, yeah.
Some brilliant names.
They have colourful names, and then they vote as a nation for a goalie, a sports person.
Yeah, there must be a reason why they've all got colourful names. There must be some sort of, because it's right in the middle of Europe, I guess. Anyway, that's by the by. Yeah, both going for Chelsea. I'll go Chelsea minus one.
Okay.
Just to stick that one in there. The third TV game on Sunday is Newcastle versus Everton. Newcastle 9-5, 21-10 the draw, and Everton 13-8. Two teams who are grappling for form. I mean, Newcastle have fallen off the edge of a cliff. Lost 4-1 at Arsenal, 4-0 at Tottenham in the league, lost at home to Sunderland, and then got beaten 3-1 away at Manchester United. And Everton aren't an awful lot better, are they, really? They just seem devoid of confidence. That 3-1 win over Crystal Palace is the only win in the last six away from home. Even their ever-present goal-scoring record away from home has dried up. Haven't scored in the last two at Man City and at Southampton, and have only won two games all season away from home. They were at West Brom, Derek, and at Burnley, two of the weaker teams in the division. The more I think about it, the more what I said, whichever journalist it was who said it to me, about the manager, Roberto Martinez, being like Wenger, in that he doesn't care for defending too much, seems to be true. And without the attacking threat, they are struggling. I mean, it's dreadful form for them at the minute, isn't it?
Yeah, well, when you said that's only one win in six, it's actually four defeats in the last five.
Yes, it is, yeah.
It's only that QPR game, and he weren't particularly brilliant that night, that Monday night game a couple of weeks ago. And the plus side for them, we've got a good record here recently at St James's. I think it's three wins in the last four seasons there, which is remarkable. But the favourites for this game, I don't see how. I really don't in the form they're in. I run into lots of Everton fans, sadly, and not without my car. And I'm only messing blue noses before you go mad.
You don't say that to the Man United fans, the Arsenal fans, and whoever, and flat nose. And
I'm not going to meet many now.
Yeah, so you know, you can see, you know, he's not that brave.
I just none of them would fancy Everton here. But then again, not too many Newcastle fans would fancy Newcastle. No. It's a real. It's an anything game, this, and the draw is the biggest price. I'll have to go for that.
Yeah, that's exactly what it is, isn't it? I think 21-10 is a great price for the draw. I think both would settle as well because, you know, both, you know, although they're both out of form, I think Newcastle would say, oh, you know, a point at home to Everton's a good result, and Everton would say the same thing, wouldn't it? And it'd keep the fans at bay a little bit. We said, didn't we, the other week about Newcastle fans, they want them, you really get the feeling they want them to lose every game until he goes.
Yeah, I mean, even
if they got relegated, I get the feeling that they'd rather than be relegated and lose the manager than keep that manager. They dislike him intently, don't they?
I always think if fans are like that, they need a new manager. It's the fans who run the club, not the owners or the managers. It's the fans, and you know, sometimes they're wrong, obviously. But if that's the feeling, I often think, get a new manager in. Because he's not exactly pulling up trees, is he? I mean, he's Mike Ashley's lapdog, isn't he?
Yeah.
You know, keep things ticking over. Don't go for any cups. I mean, their record in the cup competitions under him has been diabolical.
Strange, isn't it? Really strange. I'm going to go for it. I don't go for many correct scores, but I'm happy with a 1-1 draw. I mean, for safety, I think the draw and both teams to score at 3-1 is a decent bet. Just because, you know, Everton, I know they haven't scored in the last two away games, but they generally do, and concede, of course. And Newcastle's home record in terms of scoring, until the Sunderland match, they'd scored in every Premier League home game since the opener, when they lost 2-0 to Man City. Scored three at home against Palace, two against Hull, scored against Leicester, Liverpool, QPR, and two against Chelsea, of course. So both teams to score and the draw, 3-1 is going to be my bet in that one. The last TV game is on Monday night, and it's Liverpool versus Swansea, 8 o'clock on the 29th of December, if you prefer the date. Liverpool 8-11. 5-2 the price for the draw, and Swansea are 4-1. You can sense it, can't you? Already coming down the phone line. Liverpool, though, now it's just in all competitions, it's just one defeat in the last nine matches. That defeat came Man U, of course, when they had quite a lot of chances but couldn't bury any of them. Not many wins in there, admittedly, but they beat Burnley, of course, in the last game. Swansea. The thing about them, Derek, and you know, and I keep opposing them, and I'm just going to miss them out, I think, apart from this one, when I'm tipping them. They don't score many goals. When you look at the scoring record, they scored one against Villa, one against Hull, kept clean sheets, one against Tottenham, one against West Ham, scored two against QPR, and that's the only time they've scored more than one goal in any of the last seven matches. Scored two against Arsenal, but before that, again, you know, there's not many times when they've scored two. Did score two against Leicester as well. If Liverpool can get two at home to Swansea, it looks like they'd beat them like they did in the League Cup.
Well, yeah, they did. Like, it was a 4-3 last season, wasn't it?
Yes, it was.
Swansea. I mean, the thing about Swansea, I'm trying to get a handle on them, which I've failed to do all season, is that they seem to be beating teams they should beat and lose to teams they should lose to. For instance, they've beaten Villa, Hull and QPR in recent weeks and then lost to Tottenham and West Ham, which, you know, you look at the league table and you think, yeah, that's about fair enough, you know. So really, they should be easy to get a handle on. They're doing exactly what the odds are implying. But this 4-1 against,
but
I just can't back Liverpool or odds on. They're not playing anywhere near well enough to be worth backing their odds on. They won this fixture 5-0 a couple of seasons ago, but anybody looking at that, ignore it, because I think Swansea, memory says, were due to play in the Capital One or the Cup,
yes,
or whatever.
Yeah, you're right.
So, and he didn't try a leg that day. So ignore that one. And they've won at Anfield in the Cup recently, haven't they? A couple of seasons ago, they won at Anfield.
That League Cup game, they looked like, for all the world, like they were going to win that game. It was one, they were 1-0 up, weren't they, until, what, the 87th minute?
That's
and,
right,
and
yeah.
Everything went crazy. I think they had a man sent off.
That's
and
right.
And Partelli even scored against them, I think.
Yeah.
Everything went wrong for them, but they were just about to beat them, to be fair. I think it was the 86th minute. Then Lovren got a stoppage time winner when Fernandes got sent off in stoppage time. So it's a disastrous last, like, kind of 7 minutes.
Well, yeah, they're worth a better 4-1 here. I'm not saying the certainties. I mean, for instance, if Stoke was 7-2 to an 11 on Saturday, and I'd much rather have been on that one.
Yeah.
I know they won in hindsight, but I said it before as well. I'd rather be on that than Swansea at 4s. But I'll probably leave this game alone, but put a gun to my head, there's no way I'd be back in Liverpool at 8-11, let's put it that way.
There's something, I don't know what it is about Swansea. After having said that I can't touch them at all, I'm tempted, after having looked through the bets, the markets, to make them make this game my nap.
How easily swayed
idiot.
You are.
Well, I'm an idiot, plainly. I'm a mug punter. I'm just what they want. The two bets that I really like in this game, Derek, you know, because you can't get away from Swansea's away form. The win against Hull and the win against Man U and the first game of the season when Man U were all over the shop, weren't they?
Yeah.
They're the only two away wins all season. But they do knock a goal in. Scored against Man City and lost 2-1. Obviously scored against Liverpool in the League Cup and lost 2-1. Scored against West Ham, who are obviously a form team, but lost 3-1. Scored against Chelsea, but lost 4-2. So that Liverpool win and both teams to score is 5-2. And I also like Boney to score and Liverpool to win at 6-1.
He
was in for that. We're told that Liverpool were in for him, weren't we? But didn't sign him for financial reasons, which seems ludicrous, seeing as they went on to sign Balotelli. One of those two may well be my nap. But let's have a look at the non-TV game, shall we? We'll start with QPR versus Crystal Palace, 7-5. QPR, Crystal Palace 21-10. The draw is 21-10. Well, QPR, as we know, are a vastly different home team than they are an away team. In fact, if you look at the list of fixtures, you can tell when they've played home and away, because it's just a win and a defeat. I mean, the home form beat West Brom 3-2, Burnley 2-0, Leicester 3-2, drew 2-2 with City, beat Villa 2-0, lost 3-2 to Liverpool, but should have got something out of that game, drew 2-2 with Stoke, beat Sunderland 1-0, lost the first home game of the season to Hull. Now, you go down that list and, you know, and I know they've played City and Liverpool, but there's a lot of fodder there. But Palace fit right into that fodder, don't they?
Yeah, exactly.
Their away record is poor. They beat Everton 3-2, and that's the only away win of the season. And, Palace fans, if they weren't worried early on when Warnock took over, they are pretty worried now. A lot of Palace fans have almost accepted that they're going to go down this season,
yeah.
Derek.
Yeah, I know. Remarkable, isn't it? They have turned into one of the... Yeah. By Pulis is one of the hardest sides to beat, and now they're just in free fall, and he seems incapable of doing anything about it, Warnock. Seems redder of the face as well as the weeks go on. Yeah. You noticed. I mean, QPR have got 1 point less at home than Arsenal have.
Amazing,
you
know, record.
Puts it into perspective what they're like. I mean, I've never known such a Jekyll and Hyde team. Although, you know, to be fair against Arsenal on Saturday, you know, they lost 2-1 and they only played 10 men in the last half hour or so. They looked as though they had something about them, apart from maybe defensively. Yeah, you know, I can see both sides scoring here, but I can also see QPR winning. You can't oppose them at home against relegation teams, can you?
No, I don't think so. No, we've said a few times that, you know, that shots on target table, if you like that, they're third behind Arsenal, who averaged 20 shots on goal a game. Chelsea, who averaged 19 shots on goal a game. QPR averaged 18 shots on goal. And even when you know, some teams are all right, you know, shots on goal, but not so good on shots on target. Well, they're only fourth in that table behind Chelsea, Arsenal, Man City. So, you know, I mean, the Charlie Aston to score and QPR to win it 3-1. I don't half like that. I think that's a great little bet, that headline offer. You know, I know they try and tempt you with the headline offers, but that one's worth taking, I think, because, you know, if they are going to win, chances are he'll be on the score sheet. And I think 13-10 for him to score any time is a decent bet against Palace, who, as we know, are conceding goals for fun. The amount of goals they've conceded away from home, Palace, is the fourth worst in that table, and behind QPR's away record. Newcastle, Liverpool have conceded 16 goals away from home. It looks a decent one. You just go in QPR, though.
Yeah, I think
there's
not too price in that. Yeah,
I mean,
on home form against Palace, really. If this, you know, they'd be odds on, wouldn't they? If you just ignored the league table,
any of those three teams I mentioned above them would definitely be odds on, wouldn't they?
Yeah, exactly.
I don't know why they're 7-5. I thought they would be shorter than that, to be honest with you. But I'm going to be a little bit greedy and go for Charlie Austin to score and QPR to win. I think that 7-5 is good enough. Another team who are 7-5. In fact, the odds are identical here. Aston Villa versus Sunderland, 7-5 Villa, 21-10 the draw, 21-10 the price for Sunderland. Funny two teams these, aren't they? It just puts that into perspective, doesn't it, really?
You know what? Mine and your brain is working exactly in sync here. Because look at these two. The Aston Villa-Sunderland game is impossible to call. The one above, where it's the same odds, is an easy call. Mm. Is that what you were going to say?
It's just a great comparison.
I haven't got a clue about this game. It was 6-1 a couple of weeks, seasons ago, and it could finish that way either way. I wouldn't be in the least surprised. I have not got a single clue about this game. I was going to say the draw is the biggest price go for that, but it's not the same price as Sunderland. No idea. Absolutely no idea.
No, it is a tricky one. I mean, because Sunderland, I mean, just when you think you think, oh yeah, they're crap. they haven't lost in an away game in four. They've been to Palace, all right, not so great, won 3-1. Went to Leicester and drew 0-0. Went to Liverpool, drew 0-0 and beat Newcastle.
And that was an excellent performance against Newcastle as well. And then they throw in that game against Hull at the weekend. You know, you just... It would be a Premier League punter.
God. I'm going to go for low on the goals here, I think. I think the fact that Sunderland are keeping it tight and Aston Villa don't score two. I know they scored two against Leicester at home, but before that, they'd only scored two against Hull. And they're the only two games where they scored more than one goal. So I think I'll just be a weakling here. Either the draw or under 2.5.
Yeah, but have you seen the goal? Have you seen the price?
Don't tell me.
No,
seven to twenty or something. Daft,
8-15 under 2.5 goals. I mean, jeez. Even under 1.5, where sometimes you get 3-1 for it's 7-4. You know, that's the bookies are all over that, Lee. I mean, you look at that fixture and it does look like a nil-niller.
Yeah,
but.
I'm going to go and chase some value then and do what you shouldn't do.
Yeah.
And go draw an under 2.5 at 13-5. I'll go for that. Gives you the 0-0 and the 1-1, doesn't it? Let's have a look at Stoke versus West Brom. Bit of a feisty fixture, this one, isn't it, for the fans to go to in between Christmas and New Year. 3 o'clock kickoff. Stoke are priced up at 10-11. The draw is 21-10 and West Brom 7-2. None of us landed our naps on Boxing Day, but to give Derek some credit, he mentioned that he liked three, and one of them was the Stoke to beat Everton, and they went and did it, Derek. Great result that. Bojan, you know, he's, or Bojan, as the hipsters like to call him, probably because that's the way to pronounce it. He looks like he's really starting to settle in. I mean, it's funny, isn't it? This lad, you'd think, yeah, he'll be all right, but wait till it gets to Christmas, and then, you know, wait till it gets to winter, and you're playing for Stoke, and this is when he seems to have got better.
Yeah,
scored that goal, you know, the penalty against Everton, and West Brom don't seem to be getting much better, do they? Got a goal against City, but were terrible until the snow came down, weren't they?
Yeah, it looked great. That you the first game, first few minutes of the game, first half of the game, really perfect conditions, wasn't it? And then a blizzard. It looked great. I love those kind of matches.
Do you think? I mean, I know City were already three up and they were coasting, but they didn't half go. Did they? I mean, when West Brom started to chuck it at them, and when the not the snow, the ball, when it was snowing, I was thinking to myself, it's a good job City did have three goals here, because they didn't look interested at all. Did they?
They couldn't see the ball. They needed one of those red ones.
They brought one on in the end. You couldn't tell her. They brought an orange one on in the end. City were just like, get us off this pitch now. We're done.
Yeah, I know. It was exactly like that. I mean, West Brom did have a few chances as well, didn't he? But again, you don't know whether it's because City had eased off. You know, the commentator on the match today, they'd only caught the highlights. He was saying much the same. I'd have to go for Stoke, but it's that 7-2 away from home against a team that aren't brilliant. You know, Stoke are a good side, but they're not brilliant. And, you know, but I'm going against that because I just can't see Stoke not winning this. I'm looking at the West Brom team and I don't see any better here. You know, maybe a few glimmers at the weekend. But I just can't have him. Looking down that list of players there, and there's, you know, Sessegnon is not the player he was at Sunderland. It doesn't seem. I think they're in big trouble. I think West Brom, Stoke definitely aren't. I mean, they look a tidy side, Stoke, and they're going to win this one.
Yeah, I agree. I you mentioned Berahino though, and I've been watching him quite closely over the last few weeks because he was obviously in great form. He's obviously had his problems off the pitch, and I've just been waiting and waiting to see if he would start to show glimmers. And he's hit the post in the last couple of weeks. He had chances, I think at least two chances in the same spot against Man City. So I'm going to weigh in here. I think 2-1 for him to score any time against Stoke is a little bit big. This is a Stoke team who, you know, the home form isn't particularly clever, and they do concede goals. Just take the Premier League form, conceded two against Chelsea, fair enough, two against Arsenal, again, fair enough, two against Burnley, two against West Ham, one against Swansea, and kept a clean sheet against Newcastle, conceded to Leicester and Aston Villa as well. So there's, you know, there's only that one clean sheet in all their home games so far. So I think West Brom might score, and I think Berahino might get it at last. 2-1 for him to score.
I wouldn't argue with that one.
Next up, let's have a look at Hull versus Leicester. Hull are 5-4, 11-5 the draw. Leicester are 23-10. I mean, Leicester. I mean, every time I watch them, I think to myself, sooner or not watch them, but every time I see their fixture, I think sooner or later, they are going to have to get a result somewhere. I mean, scored against Tottenham again and lost. Ajoa finally, you know, getting on the score sheet. And Hull, 17th, Derek, a point above the bottom three. They haven't won a home game in four. Last home game they won was against Crystal Palace. Is this the one? I mean, 23-10 is never big enough to back Leicester in the run that they're on. You know, they're not throwing anything here. The trade, are they? Look at the prices. You've just got to go for the draw, haven't you?
Well, the reason I'm going to go for Hull is, I mean, I've been saying for ages they're a much better side than the results are showing. You know, a much better squad anyway. They should be doing an awful lot better. And I've run out of patience with them, which is why I didn't go for them at the weekend. And they battered Sunderland at the weekend, by all accounts. And that was a Sunderland side who were cock-a-hoop after what had just happened. And the reason I'm going to go for them here is that Steve Bruce changed things around a bit, didn't he? He went back to the players who got them promotion a couple of seasons ago instead of some of the star names he'd signed. And the performance was about 50% better than anything they'd shown. And then, God, you know, if they don't beat Leicester at home, they deserve to go down because everybody's beaten Leicester. And I've said it many times, Leicester haven't got a squad capable of living in the Premier League, and the results are showing that. I'm going to go for Hull. I'm going to say that result at the weekend is going to give them the platform to build something. They should be about, looking at the players at the squad they've got, Hull, they should be about 12th. And I think they'll end up nearer there than they will do nearer the drop. So I'm going to go for Hull.
I'm going to go for the draw, basically based on the prices. I know it's a shorter price than Leicester, but I can make a better case for Leicester drawing the game than winning the game.
Yeah,
and, you know, 11-5 and 23-10, there's barely anything in it. And you know, you look at Hull, I mean, you know, good win as it was, they haven't strung two wins together all season. In the Premier League, in fact, you know, they haven't had many wins. To be fair, they won the opening away game against QPR. They beat Lokeren in the Europa League. They beat Palace and they beat Sunderland. That's it. That's all their wins all season long. So I'm not going to say they're going to string two together. And the run has to end sooner or later. And against my better judgment, I'm going to say it's going to end here for Leicester, so a draw for me at 11-5. I don't mind. I mean, he's not the most prolific, and he doesn't get that many shots on goal. But again, a bit like Berahino, Joa to score in the game 19-10. So if you're looking for a goal scorer, you know, he seems to be a confidence player, so maybe worth a look. But you can tell by my tone, I'm not overly confident.
No,
two more games to do, and two decent ones: West Ham versus Arsenal, 23-10 the Hammers, 23-10 the draw. 6-5 the price for Arsenal to win here. As I said at the start of the podcast, you know, maybe the manager read too much into his own hype and tried to do something different at Chelsea. They should have just stuck to what they know, and they probably will do here, because as Derek also said, it's a more of a winnable game. They've, you know, they've been in good form. They beat City at home, of course, in the Premier League already this season. They've beaten Liverpool 3-1, of course, as well. Did lose to Tottenham and lost to Southampton, but that was before they seem to find this new style of football. Arsenal's away form in the Premier League, nothing much to write home about, Derek. You know, they beat West Brom 1-0. They beat Sunderland 2-0. They beat Villa 3-0. And that's it. They're their only home away wins all season.
I know.
Lost to Stoke, lost to Swansea. They can, if West Ham trust themselves and the manager goes with a team that he knows can beat Arsenal, they could win this game.
And he'd love to put one over on Wenger, wouldn't he, Allardyce?
Well, a point ahead of them in the table as well.
Well, exactly. I mean, Arsenal, three this away from home in 9 games, 3 wins, 3 draws, 3 defeats, and they're just barely above even to beat a side that are in the top 5. Doesn't make sense to me.
No.
And West Ham, you look at that Arsenal defence, I look at it and shake my head, and I just wonder what Wenger's doing with them. And West Ham have got the players that are going to shake them up. I fancy West Ham quite strongly here, you know. I'm not getting taken in by Arsenal. I just don't see it with them. I wasn't that impressed, to be honest, with them against QPR over the weekend. I think they're a side that are going nowhere. And West Ham have surprised me. They won't surprise me if they'll win this, though. I think I fancy them big time.
There's a load of stats, you know, the Opta stats that we use here. There's a load of stats against West Ham here. They've won one of the last 12 against Arsenal, losing the last 7 in a row. Walcott, I mean, I'm just going to throw these in. Obviously, they're not all playing, but Walcott scored 5 in his last 4. Podolski scored 4-4, and Giroud scored 4-4 against West Ham. Here's another little nice one. If you want to back Arsenal in this game, this is a nice one, given West Ham's ability to score at the moment. The Hammers have scored the opening goal in each of the last 4 Premier League games against Arsenal, but have also seen the goodness come from behind to take all 3 points in all of them. So Arsenal to come from behind and win is 7-1. Arsenal to come from behind and draw is 8-1. And Arsenal to come from behind and win or draw is 18-5. So there's a few nice little bets in there for you if you're an Arsenal backer. Giroud to score in the game, by the way, is 23-20. But I think you're like, you know, check team news, but Sacco to score at 17-10 is a better bet for me than that. I think there could be
isn't he suspended for this one?
Oh, is he out for this one? Is he?
Well, he got sent off.
Oh, of course he did. Yeah. He won't. Was it a straight? Yeah, it was. Yeah. He won't play at all, will he? So I'll edit that out and make myself look better. You're going for
West Ham. I'm going for.
Yeah, I think I'll. It's a tricky one. I'm going to trust them to get back to where they were, and I'm going to go West Ham to win and both teams to score at 9-2, I think. But I do like the goal scorer bet, Sacco to score in the game at 17-10. Let's round off with Man City versus Burnley. 1-6 Man City. Burnley 18-1 and 11-2 the price for the draw. I think they might well be the biggest price we've had all season.
Yeah,
Derek. Burnley to win away at Man City. As we've already said, Man City, you know, did the job in half an hour and then sat back and played around in the snow, basically, for the rest of the game against West Brom. Burnley weren't embarrassed by Liverpool by any stretch of the imagination. I thought they might be. And, you know, they lost by a goal to Liverpool, lost by a goal at White Hart Lane, beat Southampton, lost 2-0 to QPR, drew with Newcastle. But you do get the sense that they maybe done the best business already, haven't they, Burnley? That little run they went on when they beat Hull and Stoke and drew with Villa and had that winning draw against Newcastle, that might be as good as it gets, Derek.
Yeah, well, they've scored 5 goals away from home in 8 games, so, yeah, you know, less than 1 a game. And they're playing, you know, the team that could win the league this season. You know, 1-6 City, it's a banker, isn't it?
you wouldn't want to be back in it if it wasn't, though, would you?
No. But the 4-6 to win without conceding, 4-6 might be more to your taste. It's still not quite to my taste, but you know, that looks a banker as well. It is the biggest price. I think that whole game at Arsenal when they were 20-1 two or three seasons ago.
Yeah,
because you're not getting those big prices anymore.
No,
nowadays.
We don't, do we? No.
You know, it's more 7 or 8-1 teams that would have been 14-16s a couple of seasons ago. I don't quite know the reason for that. I mean, your odds compilers need to be on to explain. But you know, some people would say, "Well, is the zero on the Hills keyboard broken? Because it should be 180-1 in this one." City will win without question. Question of how far. I wouldn't put anybody off because the golfing class is ginormous here. I wouldn't put anybody off when you're looking for an odds against poke. The first one you get to in the handicap is City minus 2 goals at 11-10. So they need to win by 3. And come on, you know, that's well within their compass, isn't it, in this game?
Yeah. The only doubt in my... they're going to win. I'm not doubting that they're going to win. The only doubt is whether they wait till after half-time to get the first goal. You know, against Palace, they won 3-0, but didn't score until the 49th minute. You know,
yeah, but they wrapped up 3 against West Brom at the weekend in about first second.
I just think at home, teams find it easier to put everyone behind the ball and try and make it difficult. But they do look... I said about that FIFA move, Derek, where they go to the byline and cut it back. Same thing again against West Brom. I mean, you're looking for goal scorers here because they haven't got strikers in the team necessarily, or even if they have got strikers, you're looking... It's going to be this... If they're going to play that same tactic and get to the byline, cut it back... It's going to be Torre, Silva, isn't it, who are going to be on the end of those, or maybe Nasri. Nasri at even money compared to, you know, Silva at 7-10 or, you know, Torre at 4-5. I might have a little go on Nasri to get one here. I think he's playing well and he's around the ball quite a lot. So I'm going to go for Nasri to score a goal at any time here at evens. Even if they do bring, you know, even if they have Jovetic back, for instance, I still think that you're probably looking at midfielders being on the end of the... on the end of the ball more often than not. So even money Nasri to score for me in this game will be mine.
I mean, in the goal scorer better in this game. Milner's getting forward a bit more, isn't he? You know, so you may... Yeah.
He's 4-5, Derek.
Oh, yeah, well, no, I didn't realise that. Yeah. No, I wouldn't be backing that. Milner are odds on to score in the game. Come on, what's going on?
You can't be odds on to score in any game, even if he's playing with his kids in the backyard. I wouldn't have him odds on.
Well, in other words, so he's evens 11-10 not to score. Well, you know, theoretically... Yeah. You'd have that all day long, wouldn't you?
Yeah. I mean, looking down, you know, if you think it's going to be a bit of a cricket score, or you think at least they're going to stick 3 maybe past them, then, I mean, even Kolarov at 21-10, if he plays, he's got a great shot on him. You're looking at some of the Zabaleta at 19-5 to score in the game as well. There's a few down the bottom of the list who you might be tempted by. Dave hasn't even sent the nap in. Can you believe it, Derek? Scandalous, isn't it, really? I mean, he can't even be bothered to look down the list and send a nap in. Have you got one that you've picked out? We'll give him just a loser.
Yeah, quite well. He would have done anyway, wouldn't he? yeah. I mean, I hate going for odds on. I think Chelsea is set to win at Southampton, but I can't go for odds on. I mean, no. I'll go for, let me have a little look, QPR to beat Palace 7-5.
No, that is decent, isn't it? That? I do quite like that bet myself. I going to go for a daft one in that bet, wasn't it? I was going to go for the Liverpool Swansea game. I'm going to go for that just again because it's Christmas.
Yeah,
I'm going to go for Liverpool to win and both teams to score at 5-2. The Liverpool to win and Boney to score I love that bet as well. It's 6-1. I do like that bet, but I'll for the purposes of the nap, I'll go for safety. Liverpool to win the game, both teams to score at 5-2. Derek, thanks for your time.
Pleasure.
We're going to speak again on Monday, I think, aren't we? So there's no point in me wishing you Happy New Year.
I'll do that
on Monday.
All right, then.
Cheers, Derek. Have a great weekend.
Thanks, Lee.
Thanks, mate.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.